Good morning. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Old faces, some new faces. So it's good to see you. Let's pray. Our loving Father, on this day, which for many are calling Father's Day, above all, we know that you are the Father, our Father in heaven, for whom every other family derives its name. Thank you that you welcome us today into your presence as a loving Father who is good, always good. Help us to trust you, to listen to you, to obey you, to walk with you today. Amen. Great. We're hoping fairly soon to start up Girls Brigade. You would have heard me say that before. We still need a couple of volunteers. The aim is to have a rota for people to help on a Monday evening, and particularly we need help with the younger ones. Only a couple more needed now, but Angela would love to have two groups running, and we do need extra people. So if you've heard this notice a couple of times before now and thought, well, someone else will do it, God may be tapping you on the shoulder and saying, how about you? It can be male or female, old or young. And if you think, well, yes, that's something I could do for an hour early evening on a Monday. Andrew is the pretty lady in the top corner there. There you go. Who was not supposed to be here this weekend, but we're blessed to have you with us, Angela. And thanks for all the preparation work you've done for Girls Brigade to start up again. The girls are really keen, and so they want to meet together. So if you think, yes, I could help make that happen, do speak to Angela or myself or give her a call during the week. The next thing I want to do is ask Jean if she would come forward, please. Jean Watts, you can take your mask off for this, Jean. Thank you. Jean said, that book that you mentioned, I couldn't put it down. And she told me a bit, and I said, well, would you like to do a book review? So it's a little while since we've had a book review. So over to you, Jean.
First of all, the word of warning. Don't ever tell Stephen that you've enjoyed a book, or you'll find yourself standing up here. But seriously, I picked this up 9 o'clock in the morning because I was intrigued by the title. Couldn't think what it was going to be about. And I couldn't put it down. Now, I grew up in the Church of England when it was much more formal than it is now. And I had a very unfortunate introduction to the Pentecostal Church. And so, although I've always enjoyed the fruits of the Spirit, I struggled with the gifts. But this book was wonderful because it was so easy to read, and yet it explained things. In the introduction, David Watson, this book, with straightforward narrative rather than theological explanations, will answer some urgent questions. It will show that God is just as alive and active as he was 2,000 years ago. And that's what it did. So I would recommend this to anybody. It's an easy read.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. There are two copies out on the table. 9 o'clock in the morning.
And it wasn't until the last page that I discovered why it's called that.
Some of you all thinking, well, I know why it's called that, but others are thinking, no, I don't know why it's called that. It has to do with drinking too much. Anyway, So there are several new books that are on the table, both in here and also in the CrossLink Centre. Often we're putting new books there, or they're second-hand books, but they're new books to us that go with the theme of the service. And so you have to grab and go. You can't spend lots of time around the tables at the moment. That will change. But as you go out today, either in the vestibule or in the Crosslink Centre, if you see a book and your eyes are drawn to it, just take it. And if it's the Seven Deadly Sins one that's out there, no, none of us are looking. It's all right. You can take it. I think that'll be it for notices. Welcome to the family of Paignton Baptist Church, where we worship our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the goodness of Father God in the power of the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We're starting where we finished off last week, of knowing the Lord, who is Saviour and Lord, and that he loves us. And it's where we start, and it's where we finish, that he loves us. We've got a time of worship now. We've got a couple of songs today that will go on from one to another, and just worship the Lord. We can't sing, but we can do everything but. And just allow the Lord to draw that spirit of worship from you. There'll be opportunities to say words of praise. Stay seated if you want to, or stood. If you want to grab a banner, there's some banners around, some flags, use them. If you need to have a dance, there's the Crosslink Centre to do so. And feel free. Feel free. I would be if I was there.
Because you are the only God. Mm-hmm.
loudly.
That we can say that name Jesus in the right sense of the word. For some of us, Lord, many years ago we may have said it as a swear word, but Lord, we thank you that we can say it now: Jesus, my Saviour, my Lord, and my God.
Learn from that, and I was encouraged this morning to hear that, that anything sectarianness should be crucified. Pray against it, Father, in Jesus'
name. Jesus, we thank you that you have one body, one family, and that we're included in it through you, born again by your Holy Spirit. We have one Father. Thank you for this day, this moment. Amen. Before the children go out to their group this morning, we're going to have our Bible reading, so we all share in that together, which Josie's going to bring for us.
So we're in John chapter 10, and the first 10 verses, and then two more verses from 14. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this as a figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And we thank God for his word.
Thank you, Josie. So, Joe and Connie, you're going to go out with Rowena. Who's working with this morning, Rowena? Jean. Multitasking Jean today. Book review and working with the children. Wonderful. Connie and Joe, just before you go, just wanted, come a bit closer and just have a look at this picture. Because, can you see this picture, Joe? Sorry, you can come with it, Amanda, if you like. Can you see this picture, Joe? What is it? What can you see in the picture? What do you think, Connie?
A lamb.
It's a lamb. And who else is there? Who else is in the picture? Sorry? Not sure. And that's because you don't know, do you? It's a man, or maybe a lady, cuddling a lamb. And it's a picture of the good shepherd we've just heard about, cuddling a lamb. And as we pray for you now, just want you to have that picture in mind, that Jesus, the good shepherd, is cuddling you just like that man there is cuddling the lamb. He's got his arms wrapped around you, just like that. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for Joe and Connie. We thank you for Owena and Jean and Dee, who's going to be with them. Pray you bless their time, that they will know you are the good shepherd, that you love them, and that they are safe in your arms, and that you have such fun for them to enjoy, such things to do, such adventures in this life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not praying because, David, I don't trust him. I trust him completely. And I've seen what he's going to write to you, but it just... Father, I thank you for the words on this bit of paper that's in front of David. But we know that that's not what we're going to hear. What we're going to hear is your heart and David's heart joined together, conveying truth, speaking the truth in love. I pray we'd hear what you have to say to us. We'd hear what your Spirit is inspiring us with to know, to understand, and to obey. I pray that we will go out from this place, not with a load of stuff to remember, but with hearts transformed, with minds renewed. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me on the shelf? Good. What a privilege it is to open the Lord's Word on the Lord's Day, isn't it? An amazing event took place on the 16th of July, 1969. Can anyone remember what it was? Sorry?
Man walked on the moon.
That's right. Man walked on the moon. That was the day on which the USA's Apollo 11 mission, that space mission, succeeded in landing the first humans on the moon. Commander Neil Armstrong, Lunar Module Pilot Buzz Aldrin, and Command Module Pilot Michael Collins became famous overnight. Armstrong was the first man to stand on the moon's surface, and he uttered those now famous words, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And that was done on a live television broadcast. The dictionary definition of the word mission is an important task which a person or group of people is given to do. So we could have a space mission, a trade mission to another country, a mercy mission to help homeless refugees, many other missions. Christian mission can be defined like this. The mission of the Christian community is to evangelize, to tell people the good news that Jesus died to bring them forgiveness and enable them by trusting him to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. However, I would add that whilst that definition is at the heart of Christian mission, Christian mission is a much wider thing, because we embrace what Jesus himself said in the words contained in that reading we've had this morning, John 10, verse 10. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That verse was adopted by BMS World Mission some years ago as a sort of mission statement or watchword. Stephen invited me to speak this morning about remissioning our church. This is part of a short series of sermons to remind us about some thinking which was done during lockdown, that quiet time which has enabled us to stand back and consider all the things that we got used to doing in the past over many years, and asking, what is God wanting us to leave behind? What new opportunities is he prompting us to grasp? What do we need to adjust? What should we focus on? And most of you will know that we have adopted the words of the Great Commission as our mission statement this year. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have discerned that God is wanting us to go and make disciples who will in turn make more disciples. This makes the assumption that we are already disciples ourselves. Disciples make disciples. Think of Jesus' disciple Andrew. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 40, we read, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. I wonder, can you remember when you first gave your heart to Jesus? Wasn't it exciting? Were you not bursting to tell others so that they could come to know Jesus too? Those of us who've been Christians for a very long time perhaps need to ask ourselves, have we somehow lost that first enthusiasm? But let me put some questions to all of you. Do you regard yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you ever considered whether you are a disciple or not? Do you want to be? Some of you may be uncertain whether you're a disciple, and if you're not sure, speak to Stephen after the service, or on the phone, or privately. I'm sure he would love to speak to you and explain it further. And if you can't get hold of him today, don't give up. Keep pestering him until you get hold of him. Because it's important. Many churches, including our own, have realised that as we emerge from the restrictions of the last 18 months or so, we are in a new season. For many years, the pattern of church life for most people has been to attend church, to receive sound Christian teaching, and also good pastoral care when we have needed it. Josie and me have belonged to 8 Baptist churches over the years, not because they kept throwing us out, but because we lived in different parts of the country. And that has been true of all those churches. Josie and I joined this church at Wynne Street because of its strong, biblically based
teaching and the warm and loving welcome that we received from day one. It fulfilled our needs, and it still does. But in the world in which we live today, what the church appears to offer is alien to the great majority of people in our community and wider afield. And if we want to see people saved, then we need to be active outside the walls of the church. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you. Go and make disciples." We are called to adopt a kingdom approach. I love that verse 9 of John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about the sheepfold and the sheep who come into it and go out of it. It's a picture, I think, of how it should be for us. We come into the church week by week to be reassured of God's love for us and Jesus' passionate love for us, and to receive spiritual sustenance so that we can then go out into the world around us, out for mission. It's not that we take Jesus into the world. He is already in the world by his Spirit. But we are sent to join him in his mission. And that mission is many more times important than any space mission, however far it goes and however wonderful it seems. But the key question is, how do we do it? I want to bring you some thoughts I have picked up from a Christian author called Joe Elliott. I don't agree with everything he says, but there is some thought-provoking stuff. He asks, what is a modern-day disciple? While the meaning of the word disciple hasn't changed, it means student or follower, the process of leading people to follow the teachings of Jesus has become a bit more complicated. Elliot uses this example. I am a terrible cook, yet I desire to improve my skills. So, Tasty, which is apparently an outfit which produces videos, breaks down recipes into fast, simple, visual form for me so that I can test them for myself. I have discovered that not only do they work, but they make an idiot in the kitchen, like me, look like a brilliant chef. That positive experience inspires me to buy in as a follower and also tell others about it. So Tasty is a disciple-making machine. Don't know what you make about that. It's worth thinking about. While Tasty doesn't make disciples of Jesus, the principle is that people have a need. This need is met in simple steps, and those people become followers or disciples through what they have seen and heard and then put into practice. It's something to think about, isn't it? As members of a Christian church, we should perhaps ask, what value do we bring to people or groups of people? We may think that our church and what we do through it is already excellent. After all, we hold out the word of life, don't we? We know the life-changing gospel message. We know that Jesus Christ is Lord and is alive today, and that people need him.
It's thoughts like this which lead Eliot to ask, so why are we still seeing very few new disciples being made? The answer he gives is that it's because what we offer as church is not a perceived value to most of the culture anymore. What we offer is one-dimensional, does not meet a perceived need in their lives, and fails to inspire them. So to become more effective for Jesus, he suggests four things, which I'm going to mention briefly.
One, firstly, he states, the process of discipleship does not begin when someone decides to follow Jesus. Rather, it begins when someone decides to allow a follower of Jesus to meet a need in their life. I'm going to say that again. The process of discipleship does not begin when someone decides to follow Jesus. Rather, it begins when someone decides to allow a follower of Jesus to meet a need in their life. Meeting that need probably takes place outside the walls of the church. The second thing is, we should not attempt to be all things to all people. Instead,
we should look at the family of our church, look inside at ourselves, and assess what abilities have we got, what God-given gifts do the people here have, and then equip those people to go and do something with their gifts out there
in the community.
Many in our culture distrust all forms of authority, including the church. Therefore, for non-churched people, leading with anything spiritual can be met with scepticism. So Eliot says, plan to invest 6 to 12 months of your time,
or even longer, building up someone's trust by meeting their needs before expecting them to open up to you spiritually. And fourthly, the time may then be right to invite those people to get involved in your church community. But do this, controversially, through non-spiritual growth events. Give them the opportunity to get to know you, to experience community. And Eliot says that the church that can incorporate all these steps with consistency and excellence will then win the opportunity to meet the spiritual needs of the community. Now, going into the world to make disciples for Jesus sounds scary, doesn't it? I find the thought scary. But we don't go alone. The Holy Spirit will be alongside us to help us. And for us, it will be an ongoing process, one step at a time, one person building on another person's work and efforts. It seems to me that our outreach can happen in three ways. There's what the church does corporately. There's what we can do in small groups from within the church, and is what we can attempt on a one-to-one basis. I'm hoping to see new small groups in this church being formed by people who want to reach out in a variety of ways and settings to get alongside new folk with whom they can enjoy a common interest. For instance, the new mission opportunity which will open up in September when our sister Debbie starts her work to reach out to people who are finding life difficult, those with mental health challenges, and so on, will, I believe, draw other people alongside her who have felt drawn to get involved with her in that mission work. And I use the word mission because this venture will both meet people's real needs whilst also presenting discipleship opportunities. So, people embracing life in all its fullness. As for me, I view the future of Paignton Baptist Church with a mixture of excitement and apprehension. But I call to mind those words spoken in 1792 by William Carey, the founder of modern missions, who said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." Amen.
Thank you so much, David. That's, there's a lot there. Those of you who've got email will have had that message by email. Some of you have had it posted. If you want the words of that message again, to you retain, so you can read it and ponder over it, then do let me know. I'll have a pen with me and I'll write your name down and we can post it or get it to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your mission is to save the world, and you are in the world, out and about, preparing people to hear your gospel, revealing their needs. And Lord, we do pray indeed that we will be sensitive to your spirit, that we will love people, and we will give them what they need in that moment. Lord, help us to be a community where people can belong before they believe, where they can feel accepted and loved for who they are. Lord, we know that as that happens, so yes, there'll be opportunities to talk about you. But we know, Lord, we have to lead with that love and compassion, just as you led with compassion. Lord, help us to follow you and to be like you in the way you reached out to others. Amen. We've got a song now which we're going to use to be a prayer, which talks about setting our sails for the wind of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have this song now. Use this as a prayer. Our children are just coming down the stairs. I can hear them. Before we come to the end of our service, I just want a word about football. We started our service with the words of Jesus, "God so loved the world." Recently, we've prayed for countries where sisters and brothers are persecuted. And last week, we were praying for the leaders of the G7 countries meeting in Carbis Bay. And this week, I just want to give you a short opportunity here, but a longer one at home, to pray for another group of nations. Who likes football here? Oh, excellent. Joe's really keen. What's your favourite team, Joe? Torquay. And what's happening today? Is Dad at Torquay's match? Yeah. And it's the decider, isn't it? As to what happens whether Torquay go back into the league or... Oh, wow. But there's another football event happening. It's the Euros. You may not like football. You may resent the amount of time it's taking out of our television schedule, and your favourite programme has been moved or deleted altogether. But it just struck me, what if we took the opportunity to pray for each European nation whenever we see it on the TV guide or hear it on the news. Could we have our next slide? Yeah, there we are. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Here's our next slide. There you go. It's a bit fuzzy, but the flags are there and the names are there. Italy, Wales, Turkey, Switzerland, Russia, Denmark, Finland, Belgium, Austria, Netherlands, Ukraine, North Macedonia. I love that flag, by the way. Isn't that great? Scotland, England, Czech Republic, Croatia, Poland, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden, France, Germany, Hungary, Portugal. Rather than, oh, what if each of us, when we saw that, oh, it's Spain versus Portugal, or whatever it is, let's just bless them. Let's just bless the country. And so I'd encourage you over the next couple of weeks, not, oh, it's football again. Ah, there's a country. I've seen the flag. God sees every person in those countries. So let's just have a couple of moments now. If you want to pick a country and just pronounce God's blessing on it, do in your heart or out loud, and then we'll come to our final song.
Father, I pray for all those people who are traumatized by what they saw that day. But Father, I pray for an amazing opening for you to speak into that situation and to bring a change of life to all those people.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray for the Czech Republic. Mm. New England have got to play on Tuesday. And
bless them.
I pray not only will that be a fair game and won't be a cause of conflict, that the supporters of the clubs will get on well together. Mm. And I pray for the Czech Republic, Lord, I know very little about it. I pray for a movement of your Holy Spirit.
Indeed. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for North Macedonia. I thank you for that wonderful picture of the sun shining out. Lord, we pray for everyone in North Macedonia that they may know you. Lord, we know that your word went out into Macedonia at the very beginning of the spreading of the church. And Lord, we pray that people once again in that land will see Jesus, will know who he is, and will worship him. Amen.
Father, I want to pray for England because this country of ours needs Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
As much as any other.
Yeah.
So I pray for them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pray for the Ukraine, Lord. I'm looking on the display of what Russia's above it.
Yeah.
I just pray, Lord, that this is not the case. Yes. That the Ukraine remains free. It's democratic.
Thank you.
his countries. We pray that each one will act justly and rightly and will give their people the freedom to worship you. Lord, we pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Our final song is from Green Hill Baptist. And I think, I haven't looked up, but I think Green Hill Baptist has probably got one of those churches that has people in it with lots of different languages. People who've originally come from lots of different countries and have come together to worship. And as we have our final song, the words are quite small, but they're sung really loudly, so you'll be able to hear them. But just look at the lovely different faces that you'll see, just reminding us that the God is a God who so loved the whole world. God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.